हरिः ॐ सहनौ भवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Antya Lila, Chapter 5, How Prajumna the Mister Received Instructions from Ramananda Rai. Verse 86 to 88, 104. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu exhibited the glories of the holy name of the Lord through Haridas Thakur, who was born in a Muslim family. Similarly, he exhibited the essence of devotional service through Sanatan Goswami, who had almost been converted into a Muslim. Also, the Lord fully exhibited the ecstatic love and transcendental pastimes of Vrindavan through Srila Rupa Goswami. Considering all this, who can understand the deep plans of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? The activities of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are just like an ocean of nectar. Even a drop of this ocean can inundate all the three worlds. Srila Prabhupada. To inundate the three worlds with nectar is the purpose of the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. How could this be possible? It was exhibited by Srila Raghunath Das Goswami and later by Thakur Narottam Das and Shyamananda Goswami, who all represented the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now that same mercy is overflooding the entire world through the Krishna consciousness movement. The present Krishna conscious movement is non-different from the pastimes performed by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when he was personally present. For the same principles are being followed and the same actions performed without fail. Yeah, so the Lord gives a process, because the point is he's revealing. It's not a matter of we're doing something and therefore we're gaining it. And even if it was, you have to have a process. Right? Means if it's just whimsical, and that, then you could do whatever you like, but then in the same way as that if it's by chance, it's by chance what result you'll get. So if the idea is you're going to receive pure love of God, then that means then there's a method on how to get to that, because love of God is defined, the nature of the living entity, the spiritual realm, the Lord, the associates, and so therefore then a process can be defined. Right? So there's always that balance that you're following these things, but it's not because of those things specifically that you're gaining something. It's because of having some faith in that process and following it, you know, by you knowingly, or someone has faith in that process, exposes others to it, and they unknowingly get the benefit. So it's always going to be about relationship. It's not going to be about something else. So that's then what's special. Because otherwise people may say this, that, and the other thing. But the point is it's when that devotion is there to serve the Lord, then everything works very nicely. And so then he's saying is that these times when everything came up, when the Lord was there, then we see Raghunath Das Goswami, then Narottam Das and Shyamananda, then now at present this is happening. So it's just you follow it works. Like you mentioned that there was a lull in the preaching in the kind of Western Hemisphere. And, you know, there was always, so, you know, what's going on, what can we do, and this and that. And then they heard about the how things, when the preaching first picked up in Russia, and within an extremely short time they had 100 temples and, you know, all these different things and thousands of devotees. So then it was decided that, well, Rabindra Sarup, you know, being a thoughtful person, and that he should go and check out what's going on there that makes it happen. So basically, after going, observing, spending time, he came back and basically just told him that's doing what we used to do. You know, have respect for guru, you know, preaching, Hari Nam, you know, behaving as devotees, dressing as devotees, dealing. That was what was the whole thing. You know, you just had respect for authority and followed authority rather than trying to find fault in everybody. So it was very, very straightforward. So the point is when it's done, the same actions performed without fear, it works. Because it's Krishna's system. We can say, oh, you can't do that anymore. Oh, there's no more hippies. Or there's somebody else. The point is you approach people, you present to them Krishna consciousness, then they respond. It's not like hippies were some special divine thing. You know, Prabhupada, many times when he's talking about it, he's saying Western culture is going crazy. You know, the example of that is the hippies. So what he never talked about them like there's some glorious spiritual, you know, group. He talked about them that they were crazy. You know, he said they did have some detachment. That was to their advantage. You know, but the crazy never was and still isn't. You know, so that's the whole point, is that it's just a matter of people they went out and they talked to them. If they go out now and talk to the people that's there, they get also a similar response. Other places are doing that.
When Vaisheshika Prabhu was asked, why have all these Indians sitting in the valley in your temple? He said, well, in the 60s we pushed to the hippies, now we pushed to the Indians, just ride the waves.
Yeah, yeah. No, there's always this thing is, no, it's there, and you know. Yeah, no, there's some problems there.
He said, they come, they want to be Krishna conscious.
Point is it's about anybody who will come forward. That's who we're dealing with. No, we'll only preach to these people. But you're not preaching to those people. You know? No, we are, but they're not coming because there's something wrong with our process. You know, we have to change it. No, you're not following the process you followed before. You told people about Krishna and Krishna consciousness and hot chanting. Now you don't. So you don't get any results.
And the interesting thing is that the entire process is given by Prabhupada in his books. So even if someone is isolated and get a books of Prabhupada, they can start.
Yeah, no, that's the thing. It's like a phoenix. It'll always rise. It's a perfect system. The only weakness in it is our conditioning. You know, because the jivas have a natural relationship with the Lord. Prema is their natural position. Service is their nature. So when one takes on that nature of service, then it goes up. But the difficulty will come is that I don't remember. I just read it, but it's one of those ones where you're not thinking in that angle, and so, you know, it makes sense when you read it, and as soon as you stop, you can't remember, you go back, read it again, you have to do it many, many times for it. Kind of like, it's like...
So you have those who've got the virus, you've got those who are symptomatic, and you have those who are asymptomatic with the process of bhakti.
Yeah. That you need, the point is when faith is there that it's the only process, then you'll find a way to deliver the process. You know, that you're going to be dealing differently, but that's not a major thing. The point is that you're explaining about the relationship between the living entity, the Lord, and the material world. And when that's appreciated, then it moves forward. You simply have to find the way. It's not a matter of covering it, it's a matter of explaining it. I mean, Prabhupada started off speaking to some of the first academic preaching, you know, in the West, and gaining the respect of scholars was done by Srila Prabhupada. Like that, you know. So everybody he spoke to, he'd get the good results. You know, so it wasn't that that, oh, it's only these people you can deal with. Oh, times have changed. You can't remember. What's change? You know, it's like the same thing like we were discussing this morning. You know, in the culture, you see somebody back in the 30s and 40s wrote books on the future, right? You know, 1984 and Brave New World, right? And so they were seeing it going on then. And you see it going on now, but everybody's in the illusion that this is new. And if you go back in time, you know, Socrates had a problem that you're going to have a problem with democracy. You know, because the difficulty is it's a good thing that the people are on board and know how and they're involved in the process, it'll get them working, but the difficulty comes down to it is that unless they're trained, they don't know who to elect. You know, otherwise, a guy that just speaks a lot, you know, and promises something to everybody, then he'll get elected. That's all. He mean it. That's 3,000 years ago. He already said this is a problem, and now today, the, you know, social scientists, yes, you know, this is that, you know. What's new? You know, we are an illusion that it's new. You know, just like the baby thinks, wow, it's new, it's a new experience, check everything, hey, what's that? You know, stick that in your mouth, you know, oh, hey, what about that? You know, yeah. Well, you know, so it's just, that's the only thing that gets in the way is our conditioning. You know, so if we follow, then it works. And so the point being made here is that he's bringing out these principles of Krishna consciousness from positions that you may not expect them to come from. Right? Haridas Thakur being the Namacharya, you wouldn't necessarily expect that. Right? You know, if everybody was from high-grade Brahmin families, practicing like that, very respectable in society, very wealthy, very influential in society, and then they somehow or another took it up and all that. And but at the same time, you know, weren't too fanatic and balanced it with what they were doing. People say, okay, yeah, no, here's something happening. But he showed it from this because he's trying to break down the idea that our view that what we do is what makes it happen. No, it's how we assist what's already going on. That's what makes it happen. That's how we become involved. Because it always says Lord Chaitanya did this through this person, did that through that person. It doesn't say Haridas Thakur just one day decided to say, hey, I'm Namacharya, you know.
And now we're...
the ultimate Namacharya. UNA. O devotees, 3.5, 89-90. O devotees, relish daily the nectar of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita and the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. For by doing so, one can merge in transcendental bliss and attain full knowledge of devotional service. Thus, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, accompanied by his associates, his pure devotees, enjoyed transcendental bliss in Jagannath Puri, Nilachal, by preaching the bhakti cult in many ways. So in many ways, many different angles, they had the festivals, they had the Harinam, you know, they would take prasad together, they would personally talk, they would talk in groups. So there'd be so many ways in which they would, you know, engage themselves and others in Krishna consciousness. Right? So comes if you hear about the pastimes of the Lord, you'll go forward. If you don't hear about, then you might not go forward. Verses 91-164. A well-intentioned Bengali poet is relieved of his Mayavad tendencies. 91-97. A brahmana from Bengal wrote a drama about the characteristics of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and came with his manuscript to introduce the Lord, to induce the Lord to hear it. The brahmana was acquainted with Bhagavad Acharya, one of the devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Therefore, after meeting him at Jagannath Puri, the brahmana made his residence at Bhagavan Acharya's home. First, the brahmana induced Bhagavan Acharya to hear the drama. And then many other devotees joined Bhagavan Acharya in listening to it. All the Vaishnavas praised the drama, saying, "Very good, very good." They also desired that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu hear the drama. Customarily, anyone who composed a song, verse, literary composition, or poem about Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu first had to bring it to Srupa Damodar Goswami to be heard. If passed by Srupa Damodar Goswami, it could be presented for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to hear. There were a hint that transcendental mellows overlapped rasa-basa in a manner contrary to the principles of the bhakti cult. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would not tolerate it and would become very angry. Srila Prabhupada. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur quotes the following definition of rasa-basa from the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Uttara Vibhaga, 9th wave, 1 through 3, 33, 38, and 41. A mellow temporarily appearing transcendental but contradicting mellows previously stated and lacking some of the mellow's necessities is called rasa-basa, or overlapping mellow by advanced devotees who know how to taste transcendental mellows. Such mellows are called uparasa, submellows, anurasa, imitating transcendental mellows, and aparasa, opposing transcendental mellows. Thus, the overlapping of transcendental mellows is described as being first grade, second grade, or third grade. When the 12 mellows, such as neutrality, servitorship, and friendship, are characterized by adverse saibhava, vibhava, and anubhava ecstasies, they are known as uparasa, submellows. When the 7 indirect transcendental mellows and the dried up mellow of neutrality are produced by devotees and moods not directly related to Krishna and devotional service in ecstatic love, they are described as anurasa, imitation mellows. If Krishna and the enemies who harbor feelings of opposition towards him are respectively the object and abodes of the mellow of laughter, the result feelings are called aparasa, opposing mellows. Expert in distinguishing one mellow from another sometimes accept some overlapping transcendental mellows, rasa-basa, as rasas through their being pleasurable and tasteful. So then you have to depend upon the acharyas for that. We can't ourselves say. You know, so we have to follow in footsteps. So Srupa Damodar Goswami then is saying what is bona fide and what's not. And so then, following the footsteps of Rupa Goswami, then only we can, if there is something. In other words, there's standard things, you don't have these, but there are certain ones that are okay. But they say specifically what it is and how it's used. So then we don't have our take on it. 3598 to 102. Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would not hear anything before Srupa Damodar heard it first. The Lord made this etiquette a regulative principle. Bhagavan Acharya submitted to Srupa Damodar Goswami. A good Brahmana has prepared a drama about Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that appears exceptionally well composed. First you hear it, and if it is acceptable to your mind, I shall request Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to hear it. Srupa Damodar Goswami replied, "Dear Bhagavan Acharya, you are a very liberal cowherd boy. Sometimes your desire awakens within you to hear any kind of poetry. In the writings of so-called poets, there is generally a possibility of overlapping transcendental mellows. When the mellows thus go against the conclusive understanding, no one likes to hear such poetry." Srila Prabhupada. Yadva tadva kavi refers to anyone who writes poetry without knowing how to do so. Writing poetry, especially poetry concerning the Vaishnava conclusion, is very difficult. If one writes poetry without proper knowledge, there is every possibility that the mellows will overlap. When this occurs, no learned or advanced Vaishnava will like to hear it. 3.5.103.107. Srila Srupa Damodar Goswami continued, "A so-called poet who has no knowledge of transcendental mellows and the overlapping of transcendental mellows cannot cross the ocean of the conclusions of devotional service. A poet who does not know the grammatical regulative principles, who is unfamiliar with the metaphorical ornaments, especially those employed in drama, and who does not know how to present the pastimes of Lord Krishna, is condemned. Moreover, the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are especially difficult to understand. One has to accept the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as life and soul. No one who has accepted the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as life and soul can describe the pastimes of Lord Krishna or the pastimes of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Hearing the poetry of a person who has no transcendental knowledge and who writes about the relationships between man and woman simply causes unhappiness, whereas hearing the words of a devotee fully absorbed in ecstatic love causes great happiness. Srila Prabhupada, Gramya Kavi refers to a poet or writer such as the authors of novels and other fiction who write only about the relationships between man and woman. Vidagta Amiya Vakya, however, refers to words written by a devotee who fully understands pure devotional service. Such devotees who follow the parampara system are sometimes described as sajati yasaya snigta, or pleasing to the same class of people. Only the poetry and other writings of such devotees are accepted with great happiness by devotees. 3.5.108.114. Srila Sridhara Goswami continued. The standard for writing dramas has been set by Rupa Goswami. The devotee hears the introductory portions of his two dramas. They enhance his transcendental pleasure. Despite the explanation of Srupa Damodar, Bhagavan Acharya requested, please hear the drama once. If you hear it, you can consider whether it is good or bad. So he's already made the point, says, if you don't know these things, then why even bother with such a drama? Because there will be difficulties so easily. But then Bhagavan Acharya said, no, but please hear the drama. He's not considering whether the person's fit to do it. Because otherwise, you can describe all kinds of nice things if you're a good orator, but it's not necessarily what you're talking about is of value. You know, there are people who are just good speakers, and they can speak on anything and make it sound attractive, though it's not actually of any value. For 2 or 3 days, Bhagavan Acharya continually asked Srupa Damodar Goswami to hear the poetry. Because of his repeated requests, Srupa Damodar Goswami wanted to hear the poetry written by the Brahmin from Bengal. Srupa Damodar Goswami sat down with other devotees to hear the poetry, and then the poet began to read the introductory verse. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, quote, the Supreme Personality of Godhead has assumed a golden complexion and has become the soul of the body named Lord Jagannath, whose blooming eyes are widely expanded. Thus he has appeared in Jagannath Puri and brought dull matter to life. May that Lord, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Dev, bestow all good fortune upon you. When everyone present heard the verse, they all commended the poet. But Srupa Damodar requested him, kindly explain this verse. The poet said, Lord Jagannath is a most beautiful body, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is exceptionally grave, is the owner of that body. Srila Prabhupada. Shariri refers to a person who owns the sharira, or body, as stated in the Bhagavad Gita 2.13. Dehino smin yata dehe kaumaram yoganam chara tata dehantara praptir dhiras tatara namuhyati. As the embodied soul continually passes in this body from boyhood to youth to old age, the soul similarly passes into another body at death. A sober person is not bewildered by such a change. For the ordinary living being, in material existence, there is a division or distinction between the body and the owner of the body. In spiritual existence, however, there is no such distinction, for the body is the owner himself, and the owner is the body itself. In spiritual existence, everything must be spiritual. Therefore, there is no distinction between the body and its owner. It's already given an indication. What's going wrong here? 3.5.115 1.18. The Bengali poet continued, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has appeared here in Neelachal, Jagannath Puri, to spiritualize the entire dull material world. Hearing this, everyone present was greatly happy, but Srupa Damodar, who alone was very unhappy, began to speak in great anger. You are a fool, he said. You have brought ill fortune upon yourself, for you have no knowledge of the existence of the two lords, Jagannath Dev and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, nor have you faith in them. Lord Jagannath is completely spiritual and full of transcendental bliss, but you have compared him to a dull, destructible body composed of the inert external energy of the Lord. Srila Prabhupada. If one thinks that the form of Lord Jagannath is an idol made of wood, he immediately brings ill fortune into his life. According to the direction of the Padma Purana, Archie Vishnau Shilatihi, Yasya va naraki saha. Anyone who considers a deity in the temple to be made of stone and wood is a resident of hell. Thus, one who thinks that the body of Lord Jagannath is made of matter, who distinguishes between Lord Jagannath's body and his soul, is condemned, for he is an offender. A pure devotee who knows the science of Krishna consciousness makes no distinction between Lord Jagannath and his body. He knows that they are identical, just as Lord Krishna and his soul are one and the same. When one's eyes are purified by devotional service performed on the spiritual platform, one can actually envision Lord Jagannath in his body as being completely spiritual. The advanced devotee, therefore, does not see the worshipable deity as having a soul within a body like an ordinary human being. There's no distinction between the body and the soul of Lord Jagannath. For Lord Jagannath is Satchidananda Vigraha, just as the body of Krishna is Satchidananda Vigraha. There's actually no difference between Lord Jagannath and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But the ignorant poet from Bengal applied a material distinction to the body of Sri Jagannath, Lord Sri Jagannath.
No. I just didn't get what the Brahmin said. What was his error?
Because he's saying that... Well, let's go back. Okay.
Yes.
Next page. Yeah. Okay. Okay, the introductory verse. This is just the introductory verse, and I'm sure, yeah. The Supreme Personality of Godhead has assumed a golden complexion and has become the soul of the body named Lord Jagannath. Right? So he's already there pointing out, because he asked him to explain it. Right? And so in the explanation, then, you know, it could have gone a different direction depending upon how he explained it, but then he, you know, would have needed to adjust the poetry a little bit. Okay, whose blooming eyes are widely expanded, thus he has appeared in Jagannath Puri and brought dull life to matter. I mean, dull matter to life. Right? So he's basically seeing Jagannath as dull matter, as wood, but because Lord Chaitanya coming, that gives life to Jagannath, and now you see Jagannath's eyes expanded because Lord Chaitanya is there. So he's pointing out you don't know both of them, and so you don't understand that his body is transcendental. They're both transcendental. So this whole thing of that is nonsense. Like that. And when he says, kindly explain, the poet said, Lord Jagannath is the most beautiful body, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's exceptional grave is the owner of that body. So in other words, the body doesn't belong to Jagannath. Right? But he's not explaining it. You know, so then he said that, okay, so it can go in a particular direction. But he continued, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared here in Nilachal to spiritualize the entire dull material world. So he's comparing Jagannath to part of that dull material world. You know, it wasn't going in a rasa kind of way. You know, these other devotees, maybe they're interpreting it that way, and that's why they thought it was wonderful. But the point is the way it's worded, then Sukhdamdar could see that there's some problem here. And when you ask him to explain it, then you see it's not a proper understanding.
It's actually quite embarrassing.
Yes, yes. And that's just the introductory verse. You know, it hasn't even gotten onto the rest of the drama. So, and that's there. It's not saying that, you know, Radharani is the life and soul of Krishna and things like that. And, yeah, I think you could see better. I didn't think of that aspect. Yeah. I was thinking of that. Oh. Right, so he's saying Lord Jagannath is completely spiritual, full of transcendental bliss. So it's just that. Because the point is then if there's no meaning, then basically you're saying is then, you know, Krishna, there's nothing there, and then just, you know, the end of the Shakti that's there, then it therefore makes it happen. So he's not understanding at all. That's why Sukhdamdar previously said somebody who doesn't understand all these things shouldn't be writing poetry. You know? So that's why this kind of poetry we're very careful about. Does that make sense? Yeah, it means if you want to do some, you know, we generally do okay with, you know, just regular, everything rhymes, or every other one rhymes, or haiku, like that. No one's tried limericks. No one's used limericks, I don't think, in Krishna consciousness. Yes?
So, this particular pastime, it's not necessarily what's written, but it's how you see it. Because other devotees, they all receive the poetry, and apparently were very happy with that. But then Swarup Damodara wouldn't let it go to Mahaprabhu. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there are some people, like I'm trying to understand what's the lesson for us. There's some people, they say we just stick to Prabhupada's books and, you know, whatever else happens, we don't really care. And some extended to the books of the previous acharyas, but not the modern, you know, like writers or mm-hmm. poets. Mm-hmm. I mean, dramas nowadays, I don't think many write dramas. Might be, but
it's more fun to perform a drama to write a drama.
Yeah.
So when you have a meeting, you can have a drama.
Yeah, definitely. So then, he wrote what he wrote, but it's a matter of interpretation. And then that's why Swarup Damodara asked him to explain himself, and everybody understands. He doesn't know what he's talking about.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because other devotees, they were, you know, quite happy with that. And you know, for a few days they were hearing that. Mm-hmm. But
the point comes up is, what devotees were hearing it? I mean, it's just regular old, like, neophytes?
No.
Guys scraped off the paper.
Mahaprabhu's associates, like close.
Eternal associates are hearing it.
Yeah.
So they're going to see it in their context, that they're just talking about, you know, how Lord Chaitanya in the mood of Radharani then, you know, is the life and soul of Lord Jagannath, you know, like that, who's none other than Krishna. So they may see it like that. You know, and the Bengali Wala thinks he's seeing it like that, but the point is he's not. So one is he can tell it in the poetry, and two is that, you know, the mentality and all that. So now if this goes out and is read by general devotees, what will they catch? Hmm. So therefore it's not of any value. Because the great devotees can see anything and remind them of Krishna. Like that, you know, so they don't have any problem. Because they don't make, you know, any distinctions like that. Krishna's going to take care, Krishna's going to maintain. So the idea is he's written this to be read by people in general. Like that. It means the things will be written there, and if it's appreciated, it would go out and everybody would read it, and so then they'll all misunderstand. Because otherwise, these other poets, Prabhupada talks about these other poets and all that, but it's always about the mundane interaction between men and women. That's basically what it comes down to. I mean, if you say that, people say no, but you turn on the radio, that's all they're talking about. You know? I remember that as a kid. One day, you know, you kind of hit that age where these things make sense. You know, and then I told her, I says, everything's all about, you know, romance and that. She says, no, it's not. What are you talking about? It's kind of like, no, every song is, you know. You know, except for maybe, you know, what is it? Thigh bones connect to the knee bone, and the knee bones connect to the, you know, how you say, shin bone. And the, you know, maybe that one's not, but.
Is it possible that the Bhagavad Brahmana was trying to overdo it, you know, I'm really going to impress, I'm really going to show off.
That's there, but the point is that it's not properly composed. I mean, right. Philosophically, it's just straight up Mayavad philosophy.
Right.
You know, it's just atheistic. But he in his sentiment doesn't actually understand that. That's the point, is in sentiment you can take things that aren't good and make it into good.
You know, I was thinking of, let's say, on a Vyasa Puja day, you've got a neophyte devotee who reads out his Vyasa Puja offering, and he really overdoes it.
So that's there. Yeah.
And
yeah.
Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, that's the attitude and that. So the whole point is it comes, as is pointed out, as Sukh Donner was saying, is then your mature devotees won't like to hear that. So it's the same kind of thing. It may have a different thing. So the attitude, so what's happening here is the rasa is wrong. There's an overlap there. You know, it becomes, it's so special because you see a lot of times when people are overdoing it, they're talking about how they were in a pastime with Srila Prabhupada, but they're talking about it only about themselves, how they got the mercy and how they did this and they did that. But it's kind of like, you know, nice, great, but, you know, where's the rest of the pastime?
All the offerings are like that.
Hmm? Most of the offerings are like that.
Not the short round, but the groups.
Yeah, but you also, I don't know, if you ever, I noticed much of the time in going to Vyas Pujas, you know, that the offerings by, you know, friends, god brothers, and that, or somebody who's not a god brother but is a friend of them, though they may be someone else's disciple, they somehow know that they're always more pleasant and nice than the actual disciple. There's a few disciples that make really nice offerings, very, very nice, but I always find it's much better when the senior devotees speak, and it's always, you know, it's kind of like the main program, have them speak, and then, you know, in the afternoon after lunch, then you have everybody else can come and give that, and then you can just not go, you know. But it's interesting like that, because they'll talk more about the person and what they're doing and things like that, or, you know, some uniqueness or like that. So,
the person.
Yeah, like that. Yeah. Yes.
Also, just before the pastime started, the point was made in Uparasa, Anurasa, and Aparasa, there is a rasa that is being expressed.
Mm.
So the rasa is moving, but the only thing is it's not in right place.
Yeah.
And then the more down, it is more wrong place. So
yeah.
It's more distasteful.
Yes, it's not that they're not generating rasa, but it's just not the rasa that you want to taste. So it's more mature, and, you know, like little kids can stick ketchup on anything, you know. And for them, it's nice because they just like the sour flavor. They can't, you know. The adults may not appreciate that. You know, so
the same point, subtly. Swarup Damodar also made to Bhagavan Acharya, "You are a very broad-minded coward."
Yeah, yeah. So you'll listen to it. Yeah. You know, so he appreciates poetry and stuff like that. So when the words, it may be, because we're hearing just in English, but it may be the Bengali or whatever it is, the poetry, the rhyming of the words, how it moves is very nice. Because that's what he would have focused on. Because you can see here he's missed the point of the...
The thing says that Jagannath is stationary Lord and you, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is moving Lord.
Okay, yes.
Dal matter means stationary.
Yeah.
That actually means then when he's asking, then he's saying, explain.
But he's trying to, you know, he's being overly clever. So, you know. So that's why you have to be very careful about those. That's why we stick to just, you know, what Acharya's given and the things, where standard stuff, stick to that. You know, you don't necessarily have to be great poets here. You can be better poets there.
It's also interesting that in chapter 1, it's Lord Chaitanya who introduces Rupa Goswami to everyone else, right? It's not Sarvadhamma who introduces Rupa, it's the other way around. And then they all want to know, what have you written?
Mm.
So when he begins in introductory verses, the first thing he does is to glorify Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya gets upset, you know, because he says, why are you talking about that? And everybody says, don't listen to him, just keep...
Keep reading.
Keep reading. We like it.
Yeah.
Because he said the right thing.
Yeah. Well, Prabhupada said he's the standard. Or Bhaktisiddhanta says, I think, that he's the standard of poetry. Is Rupa Goswami. Is that word quote to your...
Yeah, I was also, because we studied in detail and Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, then I just remember that during that study, he also was really difficult to distinguish between Rasa Bhas and sunshine in Vyabhichari, because it's transitory. Mm-hmm. It's going, it's coming fast, you know, some action is there, and then it's going away. It's not like a stable situation, like Saiba or anything else.
Yeah.
So this would be really difficult to catch unless you're on that level. Then you can see all the subtleties.
Mm-hmm.
Then another difficulty, which we just recently discussed, in, you know, with the family, is that the devotees, those who reach a certain level of understanding in terms of tattva and rasa, they're just impossible to satisfy. It's just people, you know, they become like really, really picky on everything, and it makes it really difficult. I mean, people on public, they accept, because you gotta accept, but otherwise they inside themselves, they're not really happy because they see, you know, what's wrong, what it is, and they actually know how it should be. So this becomes also a problem, you know, kind of a problem.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you have, means your the primary aspect is they get to the point where they know what's the would be the standard medium of expression, but the most important is what's being expressed. You know, so that's being expressed, but here it's not, it's a misunderstanding. So the when one looks more at the mechanics of it, it's like the mechanic Krishna's universe, the mechanics of it are amazing. But that's not what's of interest to Krishna. Because that's just him, and inherently he does that. You know, like as we mentioned, I think was, who was the acharya this morning? It was quoted a 1 billionth part of his energy. You know, but we see his, you know, other Pancharatra then mentions a billionth of a billionth. So he was being, you know, just in general giving the idea. It's a very small part, but then, you know, it becomes even smaller. You know, how much, and that's all it takes to run. So whatever we see here, and whatever mechanics, and, you know, let's say like an engineer, something's just perfectly mechanically worked out. It's just so, it's like poetry to them. You know, or musicians, just how the notes moved and how they shifted from this to that. And, you know, they can talk about it. You know, you hear it and go, it's very nice. They can go on for, you know, so much time telling how, you know, you're shifting in one key and how it shifts to the next and gives the next thing and then shifts over here and does all these things. And so those mechanics are there, but they're for the purpose of carrying something else. That's why you see sometimes is that there'll be a discussion, let's say, about who's the best violinist. And it basically comes down, you know, down to those, you know, because there'll be, someone will say, this one's the best, and someone will say, that one's the best. But what much of the time what it gets down to is that one is technically way better than the other one. And nobody can argue that. Like that, it's just what they can do, it's more exact, it's more clear, it's more perfect, it's just, you can't get better than that, you know. But then the other comment is, but they don't bring out the mood. He doesn't have the life that the other person does. So the other person brings the life to it, even though it may not be technically as perfect. You were talking about the guys who are technically perfect. you know, the best of the best. So the whole point is what brings interest to Krishna is the bhakti aspect. So sometimes when, even though we're doing it for Krishna, we're trying to mechanically make everything proper for Krishna, if we forget it's about Krishna's pleasure, and we get too much onto that and too nitpicky about it, then we see is that it may get dry and lose taste. You know, so that's there. But, you know, the point is this is being done to please Krishna, So the intent is, it'll have that, but there has to be a point at which is appreciated that it's more important, the mood. You have to focus on that aspect more. You know, the mechanics is how good you are, you do that, and by applying it, you'll get better. But if it's only on that, you know, then there'll be a problem. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You know, so that kind of aspect is that, because as you said, they have knowledge of it, or they have understanding of it. You know. And so then it gets to a point, and then there can be problems. But when you get to the, when there's more of a appreciation of what it is that Krishna's appreciating, then you have that aspect of getting to taste and these things, and then that balances all these things out. So you can let things go and things like that, that it doesn't matter as long as something's going. Like, you know, let's say a little kid is doing something and trying to do something in devotion, you just take that part of it, you don't take that they're not very good at it. You know. Does that make any sense?
Yeah.
Yeah, so you always have to try to find that balance. Something is there.
I'm thinking of that verse in the beginning of the Bhagavatam about not composing properly.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
But the intent is, it's not, you may not be able to word it properly, but the Siddhanta is there.
Yeah, but in here it's, I think it's more along the line of there, if he did really put his effort into the poetry,
right,
but didn't know what he was talking about.
Exactly.
You know, so maybe that's what others were appreciating, was like that. Because I remember one devotee, he had done his degree in public speaking. You know, so he was, you know, very good at that. And so then he was taken to one program by the Birlas. You know, it was a Birla program, so it's only that kind of people are at the program. And they had flown in their talking guy, you know, some special occasion. So they bring in the guy to talk about philosophy and all that. And the devotee was saying that how he was saying it is one of the best orators he's ever heard. You know, and that was his field. But he said what he was saying was absolute nonsense. Absolutely useless. Nothing of any value. But he could say it so well. But you can also just add the devotees themselves just take it and put it into their own understanding and stuff like that. So, but because as a mission you have to see is how it's going to work down the line. So even if someone does take it that way, then you have to see. You know, it's just like Rupa Goswami, then the pundit comes and, you know, he wants to defeat him, so he just gives him a chit, you know. And so, from the point of personal sadhana and something, why get worried? What does it matter if he says, oh yes, I've defeated him? Who cares? But at the same time, Jiva Goswami is making the thing of etiquette is that, you know, you want to deal with the disciples first, then you can see if you're qualified to deal. Because he just went and got a chit, he didn't actually discuss. But he'll present it as if I defeated, I this, I that. And, you know, so then, you know, he's then looking at it from that angle. You know, so then, so that's why we always have to see is how the acharyas are approaching, how they're dealing, and go with that. Because otherwise, we don't know all these elements of rasa and things like that. You know, it's like, you know, Misa Sita, you can't say how many lifetimes ago, you know, for us, great joy was chewing on a pair of shoes, you know. Well, you know. So, therefore, we have to listen to the acharyas of what is of, you know, proper standard. So,
yeah.
Srila Swarup Damodar Goswami continued, you have calculated Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, full of six opulences, to be on the level of an ordinary living being. Instead of knowing him as the supreme fire, you have accepted him as a spark. So he's saying, you know, you're the soul in this body. He's trying to make this poetic connection, but the point is no, he is or that he is the body. You know, why is it he's just the soul? You can say, oh, nobody means this, but he's a spark. No, he's the whole thing. You know? Like that. So therefore, only living entities will have that position. Vishnu never has in that kind of situation. Srila Prabhupada.
Maharaj, also within poetry, it is considered that what to compare. Like for a king, if you compare him with a lion, it's considered proper. But if you compare a demigod with a lion, it's considered an insult. A demigod is compared with a mountain, you're like tough like a mountain, like that.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot say that your flesh is like a lion to a demigod. Mm-hmm. You're comparing.
Mm.
So,
okay.
You need to really know what.
So, yeah, so it's just like in the etiquette that, you know, it mentions when you talk with the Brahma, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, then what will be your chit chat, you know? Like that. So the Brahman, you know, you ask about, you know, how things are going, or
auspicious.
Yeah, you know, it's auspicious that things going well, like that. The Kshatriyas, you know, about the influence and the, you know, the religiousness of the people and how well that's. The Vaishya, you talk about prosperity and those things like that. The Shudra, then about, you know, physical health and, you know, at least not having any mental anxiety or stuff like that, you know. And you know, from our background, then, you know, either that's, if you're coming from a little older school, that would be standard, you would start there. And nowadays, that would be, you know, the guys, you know, what planet is this guy from? He actually knows this stuff? So, in this way, then also poetry has this whole thing, what you compare to what. You know, like I think it was also discussing about the different kinds of the ladies, the position, and what you also compare them to, what their beauty is. You know, what aspects you talk about of their beauty. You know, so it has its thing. So that's the thing, is he's misapplied. So it's also we not knowing enough poetry, we won't necessarily catch what's wrong. You know, because we even see is that when Rupa Goswami did read, then Ramananda Rai is asking questions. It's not, he's examining, but it's not to find fault. It's that, you know, it's so nice. So then, okay, what did he do here? What did he do there? It seemed that he get all the points of the drama, and then you see it's all the you know, the different various aspects, important, how you say, I don't know, positions that are there that make the structure are all there nicely. And so, yes. Srila Prabhupada. In the Upanishads it is said, Yatangair Vishfulinga Vyu Charanti. The living entities are like sparks of fire. And His Lordship, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is considered the original great fire. When we hear this Shruti Vakya, or message from the Vedas, we should understand the distinction between the Supreme Lord Krishna and the living entities. A person under the control of the external energy, however, cannot understand that distinction. Such a person cannot understand that the Supreme Person is the original great fire, whereas the living entities are simply small fragmental parts of that Supreme Personality of Godhead. As Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita 5.15.7, Mamai Vamso Jiva Loke Jiva Bhuta Sanatanaha Manas Shastan Indriyani Prakriti Stani Karshati. The living entities in this conditioned world are my eternal fragmental parts. Due to conditioned life, they are struggling very hard with the six senses, which include the mind. There is a distinction between the body and the soul of the materially existing living being. But because Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Jagannath do not possess material bodies, there's no distinction between their bodies and soul. You know, so one, he's saying he's the soul and not the body. The other one's saying he's the body, not the soul. So then, but you only have that situation with jivas. So you don't understand the transcendental nature of Lord Chaitanya or of Jagannath, and you're comparing the whole situation to jivas. Okay. On the spiritual platform, body and soul are identical. There's no distinction between them. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 1.11.38, Etad ishanam ishasya prakriti stopi tad gunai. Na yujyate sadatma Sthir Yata Bhutis Tad Ashraya. This is the divinity of the personality of Godhead. He is not affected by the qualities of material nature, even though he is in contact with them. Similarly, the devotees who have taken shelter of the Lord cannot be influenced by the material qualities. End quote. His Lordship, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is unaffected by the influence of the three modes of material nature. Indeed, his devotees are also unpolluted by the influence of the external energy because they engage in the service of his Lordship. Even the very body of a devotee becomes spiritualized, just as an iron rod put into fire becomes as qualified as fire because it becomes red hot and will immediately burn anything it touches. Therefore, the poet from Bengal committed a great offense by treating Lord Jagannath's body and Lord Jagannath, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as two different entities, material and spiritual, as if the Lord were an ordinary living being. The Lord is also always the master of the material energy. Therefore, he is not doomed to be covered by the material energy like an ordinary living entity. 3.5.120. Sri Damodar continued, because you have committed an offense to Lord Jagannath and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you will attain a hellish destination. You do not know how to describe the absolute truth, but nevertheless you have tried to do so. Therefore, you must be condemned. Srila Prabhupada. Brahmin poet from Bengal was an offender in the estimation of Sri Damodar Goswami. For although the poet had no knowledge of the absolute truth, he had nevertheless tried to describe it. The Bengali poet was an offender to both Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Jagannath, because he had made a distinction between Lord Jagannath's body and his soul, because he had indicated that Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was different from Lord Jagannath. He had committed offenses to them both. Atatvagya refers to one who has no knowledge of the absolute truth, or who worships his own body as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If an ahangropasaka, mayavadi, a person engaged in fruitive activities, or a person interested only in sense gratification, describes the absolute truth, he immediately becomes an offender. 3.5.121-126. Srila Swarup Damodar Goswami continued, you are in complete illusion, for you have distinguished between the body and the soul of his Lordship, Lord Jagannath or Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That is a great offense. At no time is there a distinction between the body and soul of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So not only is that you're taking that Lord Chaitanya is the soul of Jagannath, so you're pointing out that Jagannath has a material body, and now with Lord Chaitanya, now we see it's alive and all that. And then the thing that you're comparing to the jivas. But then it also is, we don't see, because the talk is about on that way, but it also, Supdamana is pointing out, you're also meaning that Lord Chaitanya is just a soul and not the body, his body either. And so you're also saying he's in the position of the soul. He just happens to be the soul that's connected with Jagannath, you know, somehow in the body. And so he's pointing out the fine.
Yes. All this comes out of one sentence.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, because the thing is these truths are, you know, how you say, self-evident to the liberated souls.
Right.
So for them, that's how they can go on speaking forever. Because these things are just natural, because you're dealing with something, so then all these things just are appreciated. You know. So then it's there. And also, if the guy had just come and you know, himself come to Sri Damodar, and I had this play, you know, I was thinking, you know, could you review it, or like this, you might look at it and go, hey, what do you mean here, and just say something, no, you have to do this. But it was being that he was very much into it, he was pushing. Because the whole thing happened as he wrote it. He came to Puri with the intent that it's there. He's pushing it. He's found the Bhagavan Acharya. Then he's pushing it with him. Bhagavan Acharya is pushing it. All the devotees are coming. So therefore, then it needs to be pointed out more strongly. Mm-hmm. You know. So it's just, you know. But that's all it takes. It only takes one thing. It's like that Digvijaya Pandit. You know, 100 verses. And then Lord Chaitanya picks the 54th verse, and then, you know, something from there, and then gives a whole, that same kind of explanation, that full explanation. And then you know, yes, then he's embarrassed. So in other words, even though they're simple village cowherd people, there's plenty to talk about. At no time is there a distinction between the body and soul of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. His personal identity and his body are made of blissful spiritual energy. There is no distinction between them. There's no distinction, quote, there's no distinction between the body and soul of the Supreme Personality of Godhead at any time. 61. This quotation, which is included in the Lagu Bhagavatamrita 15342, is from the Kurma Purana. Oh my Lord, I do not see a form superior to your present form of eternal bliss and knowledge. In your impersonal Brahman effulgence in the spiritual sky, there is no occasional change and no deterioration of internal potency. I surrender unto you because whereas I am proud of my material body and senses, your lordship is the cause of the cosmic manifestation. Yet you are untouched by matter. This present form or any transcendental form expanded by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, is equally auspicious for all the universes. Since you have manifested this eternal personal form upon your upon whom your devotees meditate, I therefore offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Those who are destined to be dispatched to the path of hell neglect your personal form because of speculating on material topics. 62. These verses from Srimad Bhagavatam 3, 9, 3, and 4 were spoken by Lord Brahma. Whereas Krishna, the Absolute Truth, the Supreme Personality of God, is full of transcendental bliss, possesses all six spiritual opulences in full, and is the master of the material energy. The small conditioned soul, who is always unhappy, is the servant of the material energy. Srila Prabhupada. The living entity is an ever-conditioned servant of the material energy, whereas Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the master of the material energy. Now, how then could they be on an equal level? There can be no comparison between them. His lordship is always in a happy condition of transcendental bliss, whereas the conditioned soul is always unhappy because of his contact with the material energy. The Supreme Lord controls the material energy, and the material energy controls the conditioned souls. There is, therefore, no comparison between the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the ordinary living entities. Right, so in these cases where you're trying, where those who do not know, they're trying to say the oneness, you're bringing out the difference. Those positions where they're making, don't understand and are pushing the emphasis of the difference, you have to show the oneness. Because you have to get the proper balance. That's the thing. They've made these distinctions, and they're misapplying. You know, like we said, Lord Chaitanya was telling to Bhattacharya, that you say that you and the Lord are the same, you know, but at the same time as you say it, you know, how you say it, what is that? Yeah, I don't remember that. But he's pointing out a place where the Maya bodies will say that Jiva is the same as the Lord, and another place will say he's different from the Lord. And they always have it backwards. You know, because they're trying to compare that he's equal with the Lord, rather than he has a nature that matches.
I'm getting it's running matter, that's not a problem.
Oh, okay.
Sorry, I've been moved on the cross.
No, okay. Oh, you can do that?
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh, specifically because you're using it like this, so it won't.
Whenever you want, you can just mute
the call. Oh, you mean just turn off the sound?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So then it'll just come as a little bar at the top or something.
Do not disturb. Mm. If you press there, then it will only come when you move it off, then whoever called.
Then they get 5 million calls at once. Okay. Yeah. 35127131. Srila Swarup Damodar Goswami continued. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Supreme Controller, is always full of transcendental bliss and is accompanied by the potencies known as Ladini and Sankhit. The conditioned soul, however, is always covered by ignorance and embarrassed by the threefold miseries of life. Thus, he is the treasure house of all kinds of tribulations. Now that's poetry. He's a storehouse of all kinds of tribulations. 63. This verse is found in Sridhar Swami's Vavarta Deepika 176, wherein he quotes Sri Vishnu Swami. Hearing this explanation, all the members of the assembly were struck with wonder. Quote, Swarup Damodar Goswami has spoken the real truth, unquote, they admitted. The Brahmin from Bengal has committed an offense by wrongly describing Lord Jagannath and Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When the Bengali poet heard this chastisement from Swarup Damodar Goswami, he was ashamed, fearful, and astonished. Indeed, being like a duck in a society of white swans, he could not say anything. Seeing the poet's unhappiness, Swarup Damodar Goswami, who was naturally very kind-hearted, advised him so that he could derive some benefit. If you want to understand Srimad Bhagavatam, he said, you must approach a self-realized Vaishnava and hear from him. You can do this when you have completely taken shelter of the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Srila Prabhupada. Herein, Swarup Damodar Goswami instructs the poet from Bengal to hear Srimad Bhagavatam from pure Vaishnava and learn from him. In India, especially, there is now a class of professional Bhagavatam readers whose means of livelihood is to go from village to village, town to town, reading Bhagavatam and collecting dakshina, or rewards in the form of money or goods, like umbrellas, cloth, and fruit. Thus, there is now a system of Bhagavat business with recitations called Bhagavat Saptah that continue for 1 week. Although there is not mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam, nowhere does Srimad Bhagavatam say that the Bhagavatam should be heard for 1 week from professionals. Rather, Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.17 says, Srimad Tamaswakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana. One should regularly hear Srimad Bhagavatam from a self-realized Vaishnava. By such hearing, one becomes pious. Hridyanta sto hivadrani vitunoti suvidzatam. As one thus hears the Bhagavatam regularly and sincerely, his heart is purified of all material contamination. Nasta prayeshva vitreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya. Bhagavat yutama shloke bhaktir bhavati naishtaki. By regularly hearing the Bhagavatam and by rendering of service to the pure devotee, all that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed, and loving service unto the Personality of Godhead, who is praised with transcendental song, is established as an irrevocable fact. Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.18. This is the proper process. The people are accustomed to being misled by professional Bhagavatam reciters. Therefore, Swarup Damodar Goswami herein advises that one should not hear Srimad Bhagavatam from professional reciters. Instead, one must hear and learn Bhagavatam from a self-realized Vaishnava. Sometimes it is seen that when a Mayavadi sannyasi reads the Bhagavatam, flocks of men go to hear jugglery of words that cannot awaken the dormant love for Krishna. Sometimes people go to see professional dramas and offer food and money to the players, who are expert at collecting these offerings very nicely. The result is that the members of the audience remain in the same position of griham andakupam, family affection, and do not awaken their love for Krishna. And so that was what then Bharat Muni was saying. No, it has to elevate them. It's not elevating them, then it's not the purpose of drama. In the Bhagavatam 7.5.30, it is said, Matir na krishne paratasvato va mito bipad yeta griha vratanam. The griha vratas, those who are determined to continue following the materialistic way of life, will never awaken the dormant love of Krishna. For they hear the Bhagavatam only to solidify their position in household life, and to be happy in family affairs and sex. Condemning this process of hearing the Bhagavatam from professionals, Swarup Damodar Goswami says, Yaha Bhagavata Pada Vaishnavera Stane. To understand the Srimad Bhagavatam, you must approach a self-realized Vaishnava. One should rigidly avoid hearing the Bhagavatam from a Mayavadi or other non-devotee who simply performs a grammatical juggling of words to twist some meaning from the text, collect money from the innocent public, and thus keep people in darkness. Srila Damodar Goswami strictly prohibits the behavior of the materialistic so-called hearers of Srimad Bhagavatam. Instead of awakening real love for Krishna, such hearers of the Bhagavatam become more and more attached to household affairs and sex life. Yan maitun yari grihameti sukham hi tu cham. Srimad Bhagavatam 7.9.45. One should hear Srimad Bhagavatam from a person who has no connection with material activities, or, in other words, from a Paramahamsa Vaishnava, one who has achieved the highest stage of sannyas. This, of course, is not possible unless one takes shelter of the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Srimad Bhagavatam is understandable only for one who can follow in the footsteps of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Yeah, because you see is that this point here is that you surrender to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then you can properly hear from a pure Vaishnava. But that's also an important aspect, because one may have experience of those devotees who, someone who's new or someone's of that, all they do is talk about surrender to their particular guru. And they're not talking about, you know, and then from that, then only then you can approach the Lord. But then we see also that sometimes things get distracted there. So the whole point is that one's surrendering to Krishna, and how does one do that? It's through the devotees. So you have to know what you're doing, but also how to do it. Does that make sense? Yeah.
What about, there's a lot of, there are many gatherings in India where people hear Katam, I think. What about in a situation like in the Govindaji temple, for example, during Kartik, they do 1 month of Katam.
I don't know who's speaking.
That's right, you know who's speaking.
Yeah, so generally we wouldn't be interested in
sitting
there. Yeah, but so do these other guys. I mean, the last guy we saw around here, he had a black chudder. He was famous for wearing that black chudder that was given to him by Hanuman.
That's
right. Yeah.
Which one?
Which one? Yeah, you know, the guy that has the cloth shop on the corner, that he's named Hanuman. Yeah. I think after the pandal was taken down, when he plowed the ground there. Yeah, so the whole point is this, it's one, this is an area that one's not liberal like that. You know, so that was Srila Damodar's kind of like chiding Bhagavan Acharya. You know, it's that you're a coward boy, you listen to anything. You know, so.
What are the liberal areas that we have?
Yeah, you mentioned some this morning. It's just, oh, in the name, oh, but we're just hearing from different angles and that. Like, but you have to hear the absolute truth from different angles. You can't hear, you know, Maya from different angles. You know? But,
and so most of the speakers, they have their title, Rajavasis.
Yeah.
Yeah. Without that, you're not allowed.
Hmm?
Without that, you're not allowed to see.
Yeah, yeah. There must be a whole thing going on with those guys also.
We see in the Bhagavatam right in the beginning, the first chapter, it is mentioned that there are different listeners of the Bhagavatam and there are different speakers of the Bhagavatam.
Mm.
So, I mean, it's good to find that Paramahamsa and hear from him as it is described right here.
Mm-hmm.
But the first difficulty seems to be whether, how do we, like you explained, the guy says, you know, this chatter is from Hanuman, or I'm coming from here, or I heard this from there. And then we don't have any tools.
Oh, you know, what do you matter? He says it's from Hanuman. Okay, great, nice. You know?
And then we hear from general devotee, and, I mean, you can hear in Russian Bhagavatam, you can hear anything. There's a Russian Veda, if you aware of that. I don't know. I'm not
a Russian
sure. Veda.
A Russian Veda.
Yeah, there's a Russian Veda discovered by devotees. And I mean, you have to put many filters, not one filter. You have to. Another difficulty within Bhagavatam is you know, devotees don't distinguish between reading Bhagavatam and studying Bhagavatam. It's not exactly the same. Because when you read Bhagavatam, you talk about everything except Bhagavatam, most of the time. Like you mentioned, you know, I start to please accept my humble obeisances, and then here my story comes, you know, blah, 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 and then, you know, everybody has a story. Nobody's, it's like, it's boring. Social media is for that, not Bhagavatam, but that's what happens. So we see in the Bhagavatam, I mean, the first is this Chaturshloki. Then Brahma to Narada, then Narada to Vyas, then Vyas to Shukadeva Goswami, and then Shukadeva Goswami to Maharaj Parikit, and then we get it from the sages of
Nagasharaya,
yes, Sutta and Shonaka Rishi. And in the commentaries, Vishwanatha Chakravarti, he says there's three levels of speakers and three levels of those who hear. And what is the adhikar? Not an adhikar as a devotees, because I got confused for that point. But adhikar as a listeners to Bhagavatam. So there's a huge range. I mean, we don't hear from professionals like Srila Prabhupada saying. But even hearing from devotee, when it's irregular, when it's, you know, all over the place, it doesn't give the result. Like it's Srinivata Svakata Krishna, like we mentioned here. We don't feel the result. We hear for 20 years, and still, you know, during the Bhagavatam, you know, at 30 I'm already thinking, you know, how what, you know, how is it going there? Is it going? Is it not? Should I be involved? Should I send an SMS? Should I, like...
When you get to the shop with those TVs.
On the way. So the level of absorption is very shallow.
Yeah, but that's the point is even that by hearing, because... See, the point is you're coming in contact with the chit potency. That's the point. So if you're dealing with the parampara, and someone's there, then that aspect of the chit potency, then there's always some benefit. It's just how much can be delivered. You know. So anytime they're talking about proper hearers and speakers, then they're all connected with that chit potency. Then anytime they're talking about improper speakers or hearers, it means that connection with the chit potency isn't proper, you know, or it's not being delivered properly, or, you know. So that's the thing, is that when he's talking about the Paramahamsa, we're hearing here. This is all the discussion by all these great personalities, and so we hear this and then try to discuss and understand what's going on with what they're saying, and then it works. It works very well, you know. But if not, if devotees talk on something connected with this, but if it's in pursuance of, you know, trying to appreciate the hearing of Bhagavatam or the culture of Bhagavatam or appreciating the devotees, then it can have some benefit. But if it's going off in another direction, then, you know, it has less. You know. So that's when you remember something important to do and excuse yourself.
It's like later on in the Krishna Sandarbha, Jiva Goswami points out that how all the hearers and all the speakers of Bhagavatam mentioned
in Bhagavatam.
They have the unanimity in accepting the Krishna's position as Swayam Bhagavan, and all they hear, speak and meditate is on Him. That's how there is that continuity, and then He proves other ways also by Tatvariya Linga.
So you look for that, so that's the whole point, is it's there, and then you find those that you have that inspiration, you know, and associate in those areas. You know, it's just like, you know, it, whatever they may dig up, but what does it matter? The real point is Bhagavatam is the pinnacle of it. So even if, you know, I say that, you know, Vyasadeva somehow or another in dealing with it, you know, he told someone to go bring the stack of books and they only brought four. They didn't bring the, you know, the Russian maid along with it. So there's only three Yatras, Salman and Tarva, you know, like that. Then the point is still Bhagavatam is the pinnacle. So then, you know, and then the understanding of that. So then why do we need that Veda? Because that's the whole point of Upavedas and things like that, is that they all have to be seen in the light of, you know, the instructions of Bhagavatam and how it goes there. Because otherwise, if they take it, oh, it's here, and so therefore it's more important. That this is not. If it is, then that means it's a local thing. It's a time, place, and circumstance. So it's not, you know. I mean, we do have Russians mentioned in the Bhagavatam.
Yeah.
Like that.
Sabbath.
Yeah. So that's the...
We have Kashas, we have Sabbath.
Yeah.
And the others.
And Hunda.
Yeah, in between. Right? And running back and forth in between. So originally it would be Sabras that were in India and all the way up to you know, up into Siberia. But then the Kashas kept running back and forth and all that, so they just kind of stayed out of the way. So then, yeah, they took different groups.
They're still running back and forth from the belt and the road.
Yeah, yeah. No, 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 I was trying with that now. So
like, they're still trying hard.
Yes. Trying their best. Yeah, so these things, you can't take it seriously. People want to take, they can. Point, if someone wants to get distracted, there's plenty to get distracted by. If someone doesn't want to get distracted, then there's always that opportunity. Because Krishna's in the heart. He'll make arrangement. With that. Sukh Damodar continued, associate regularly with the devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, for then only will you understand the waves of the ocean of devotional service. Srila Prabhupada, it is clearly to be understood in this connection that the followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's way of devotional service are eternal. Oh, that the followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's way of devotional service are eternal associates of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and perfect knowers of the Absolute Truth. One immediately follows the principles of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by associating with his devotees. Lusty desires for material enjoyment will vanish from one's heart. Then one will be able to understand the meaning of Srimad Bhagavatam and the purpose of listening to it. Otherwise, such understanding is impossible. Also, the thing before is that, because we mentioned, is that the devotees have heard. And, you know, they thought it was nice. You know, so whatever way they're looking at it. But as soon as Srila Damodar explained it, then they all agreed, yes, this is correct. So then if you have that aspect and it's pointed out what is correct, and then it's saying, no, but what about this? And, you know, and trying to, that means then that it's not, that mentality is not valid. So, yeah. 35133-135. Srila Sarupa Damodar Goswami continued, only if you follow the principles of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his devotees will your learning be successful. Then you will be able to write about the transcendental pastimes of Krishna without material contamination. You have composed this introductory verse to your great satisfaction, but the meaning you have expressed is contaminated by offenses to both Lord Jagannath and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You have written something irregular, not knowing the regulative principles. But the goddess of learning, Saraswati, has used your words to offer her prayers to the Supreme Lord. Srila Prabhupada. Srila Damodar Goswami informed the Bengali poet, because of your ignorance and your leaning towards my philosophy, you cannot distinguish the difference between the Mayavad Vaishnava philosophies. Therefore, the process you have adopted to praise Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Jagannath does not follow the proper system. Indeed, it is irregular and offensive. Fortunately, however, through your words, the goddess of learning, Mother Saraswati, has tactfully offered her prayers to her master, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Right, so you see, is that the like we see the acharyas, they'll take you know, like the Shishupals, you know, insults, and then they'll show how, yeah, they're all right. So she may use it, and it may be that aspect that those great devotees are pointing or appreciating, but when Sri Damodar points out, you know, because it's supposed to be poetry and it's supposed to be that, and then technically what's wrong. Okay.
Hmm. So we see, although his intent was good, he was trying to please the Lord, because he wasn't connected to the Parampara, he got himself in serious troubles.
Yes. So that it means, so that's what he's saying. Associate with the devotees, hear from them, then you'll actually understand. So basically, point is he has this ability, so but he has to hear from the Vaishnavas to be able to use it properly. So otherwise, he can't tell the difference between Mayavada and Vaishnava philosophies. You know, so. Srila Sukh Damodar Goswami continued, sometimes demons and even Lord Indra, the king of heaven, chastise Krishna, but Mother Saraswati, taking advantage of their words, offered prayers to the Lord. Lord Indra said, this Krishna, who is an ordinary human being, is talkative, childish, impudent, and arrogant, and ignorant, although he thinks himself very learned. The coward men in Vrindavan have offended me by accepting him. This has not been greatly appreciated by me. Footnote 64. This is a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam 10.25.5. Indra, the king of heaven, being too proud of his heavenly opulence, became like a madman. Thus, bereft of his intelligence, he could not restrain himself from speaking nonsensically about Krishna. Thus Indra thought, I have properly chastised Krishna and defamed him. But Saraswati, the goddess of learning, took this opportunity to offer prayers to Krishna. The word vachala, talkative, is used to refer to a person who can speak according to Vedic authority. And the word balisha, childish, means innocent. Krishna spoke the Vedic knowledge, yet he always presents himself as a prideless, innocent boy. When there is no one else to receive obeisances, one may be called anamra, or one who offers obeisances to no one. This is the meaning of the word stava, impudent. And because no one is found to be more learned than Krishna, he may be called agya, foolish, indicating that nothing is unknown to him. The word pandita mani, thinking himself a learned scholar, can be used to indicate that Krishna is honored even by learned scholars. Nevertheless, because of affection for his devotees, Krishna appears like an ordinary human being, may therefore be called Martya, ordinary mortal. The demon Jarasandha chastised Krishna, saying, you are the lowest of human beings, Purusha Adhama. I shall not fight with you, for you killed your own relatives. Bandhu Han, Srila Prabhupada. In this verse also, Mother Saraswati offers prayers to Krishna. The word Purusha Adhama refers to the personality of Godhead, under whom all other persons remain. Or in other words, Purusha Uttama, the best of all living beings. Similarly, the word Banduhan means the killer of Maya. In the conditioned state of life, one is closely related with Maya as a friend, but when one comes in contact with Krishna, one is freed from that relationship. Srila Prabhupada continued. This is a big, long one. Yeah. This is just one set of verses. Yeah. So, the Lord, and it means, because it's a potency of the Lord, the ability to communicate. And so that potency is always going to be serving Krishna. So in this case, since it's directed at Krishna, she takes the opportunity to that he will be, he wants to say something, and so he's looking for the words to say what he wants to say. But Mother Saraswati, the one, will give him words that he thinks is saying what he's saying, and others it will sound like that. But at the same time, Mother Saraswati, she's offering prayers to Krishna. Right? That makes sense. So all, because all the energies are under Krishna's control, so they're all trying to serve and please him. Right?
So she's taking his words and she makes them offerable.
She makes the words, if you understand them, if you understand the philosophy and you understand, you know, in this case, the etymology,
yeah,
then you can see is that he is, what's being said are prayers.
Yes.
But the person who's speaking is using other definitions of the word.
Yes.
But if you go back to the other, like, you know, it's the Purusha Adama. You know, like that. That means he is the Purusha by which all others are Adama, are all below him.
Mm.
But he's saying, no, he's the lowest of men. You know, because the same word is there. You know, it's just like, what do you call it? It would be like, you know, in an inverse, sometimes they have, like, let's say, in America, in the southern states, they have certain phrases they use. So one of them, like, especially like the grandmothers and other things like that, when the younger people do something really stupid, and they'll say, oh, God bless you, you know, because basically they're just saying that, you know, he'll have to because no one else will, you know. So there's certain things that are said, you know, it's like in the more, you know, certain higher social things, then they'll have ways to say, oh, I like your dress. But how the words they use, you'll think that they're commenting on your dress, but they're actually saying that that's really bad. So, you know, we'll use it in the opposite. Try to make it sound good, you know, euphemisms, make it sound good, but it's actually bad. So here is that the person is trying to say something bad, but then Saraswati will make it so it's actually saying something good. But he's saying it with that intent, so that aspect is there. Because the acharyas can appreciate. So that's what we may see before, is that those great devotees who are listening, they would be taking different aspects and putting it together and, you know, that, like that, but actually how we use and the grammar used and all that is saying things wrong. Confirmed. Okay, that's the bell. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai.